Welcome to Woo Wooville, the next stop on your spiritual journey.
I am
Emeril. And
I am Pamela.
And I am Lola. And we are friends who met on the path to greater, higher consciousness. You could say that we are soul tribe, soul family. And because we found each other, we want to help other people, especially new people, to spirituality. To help you understand that the journey has its ups and downs by sharing what happened with us.
Yes.
And Pamela, I know you're kind of shy, but do you want to tell them a little bit about what you do?
Sure. When they talk about multidimensional, this is really part of that, in that it's hard to describe sometimes what you do because it isn't just one thing, and it isn't just, oh, I'm an attorney or this or that. It's like, I'm an energy healer and I'm a shaman and I love to decorate and work with beauty. And it's just this life coaching. I love helping people through their, navigate the lessons from their life and turn that into wisdom and how to overcome the challenges that they have experienced. So that's just a little bit of what I do.
And if people were interested in learning more about you, how would they do that?
Great question. I've done a really good job of hiding this last couple
of years.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to talk about hermiting in a future episode. That's very normal on the spiritual journey.
That is a normal part of the journey. I am rebranding. I used to have a website. I don't anymore. So probably the best way to reach out to me is through Facebook. And my name's a common one, Pamela Brown. So I was like, how would they find me amongst all of those names? But I still have a business page up called The Stylist Shaman, and you can message me through either of those two means is probably the best way.
Okay. And so Pamela's grown a lot since I first met her, and she's developed into quite a good energy healer. I know, because she worked on me about two weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm Lola. I read tarot now. I've been studying that for 13 years. Part of my spiritual journey was opening the doors to the great unknown, the woo-woo, through the tarot cards. I'm a Reiki healer, and I also draw spirit guides. So if anybody's interested in spirit guide drawings, I can do them online. I can do readings online as well. And I have a website, www.lolasinger.com. And Emeril, do you feel comfortable talking about some of the spiritual things you do? I know you do them for free.
Yes, my name is Emeril, and I do breath work. I offer a breath work class, which is every couple weeks, and that's to help the collective with just clearing things out. And you can find me, you can reach out to me through Facebook as well. I'm Emeril Valle / Torres. And I'm an oracle. I don't offer any services at this point because I am a hairstylist, so I focus more on that. And I've been growing along with, I get the joy to work, well, to do this podcast with them. And we're sharing our different knowledge that we've gathered through our spiritual journey, so. In today's episode,
ooh, we're diving deep into a topic, discernment.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. So as you heard, Pamela Emeril and I have been on the road to Woo Wooville for quite some time, over 13 years for me, and a longer time for Pamela than Emeril. Emeril's taken the deep dive into spirituality. He's been moving fast. That said, I think we are at a point where we are starting to really appreciate discernment in spiritual practices. So this is something that I was completely unaware of. And when I first started my spiritual journey, mine began with a Kundalini awakening in 2011. And I started spontaneously doing mudras, moving my hands and special symbols. I could feel the frequency in my body shifting. It felt good. And then it developed into light language, where I was speaking and singing in light language. And that shifts energy in your body too. It felt really good. So I was going around singing in light language and humming in light language pretty much anywhere on a break at work. And then, and home all the time, all the time. I guess discernment came in because you know when you're in a 3D work environment, not to get, not to expose your spiritual journey too much, because there's certainly people who don't understand it, and there's people who are even jealous of it, and people who are antagonistic toward it, depending on how they were raised. So I guess the first part of discernment is kind of knowing when to be silent and when not to be silent. So I guess you have to know your audience.
Yeah, that's a great.
So I was lucky because I had that friend at work that I could open up to.
Right, absolutely. Having somebody to talk to about it is key.
Yeah.
You know, as you're developing your ideas, to have somebody to bounce these thoughts and opinions, ideas with, and learn from. We've all learned so much from each other. I think that's one of the things that why tribe is also so important, is you come together and you're like, wow, you really helped me with this, or see something from a new angle. And as I was thinking about discernment, I was like, I was having a little, like, I understand it, but to express it. So I thought first, if you could give the definition of discernment, that could be a good jumping point.
That's true. So I was looking at the Merriam-Webster dictionary, and I like this description. It says that discernment is the quality of being able to comprehend what is obscure. Does that describe spirituality, or does that describe spirituality? And then Wikipedia says discernment is the ability to perceive, understand, and judge things clearly, especially those that are not obvious or straightforward. Welcome to woo-woo-ville.
Yes.
Welcome to woo-woo-ville. It is not straightforward. And we've been kind of hogging the mic here, so anything you want to add about discernment?
So one thing that I can really add, that I think, because I'm newer, even though I went on the fast track, I realized I was thinking about discernment and how when you first are going through your awakening process, you want to learn everything. Like, your thirst for knowledge is so, like, so my things that I was going to was in YouTube. And even on YouTube, there's so many videos and you have to use your discernment. So when you are thinking about how to apply it, is what really resonates within you. What tells you, like, yes, this aligns with me. This feels truthful to me. For me, discernment is about checking first with myself, does this align with me? Is this the right thing for me to, like, continue? And YouTube has great knowledge. However, there's some, you have to understand that anytime you have just freedom to everything, there's always going to be things that align with you and things that don't align with you. So discernment really plays out there to really have the differences between something that aligns with you and something that just doesn't. Or, and it doesn't mean necessarily, like, for example, I'm going to put a perfect example. So when I first started, I started listening to Abraham Hicks, and I love her stuff, but even then it served its purpose. But now when I listen to it, I get a whole nother concept of it, because I can understand a lot more than before, I guess. Anybody else want to add?
Well, and I was really looking through the concepts of what discernment is, and how it might. I was like, okay, there's intuition in there. Is this wisdom from experience? How would you describe them? How they differ from discernment from intuition versus, oh, you have a lived experience where you've gained wisdom. Like, oh, I've learned that the hard way. I'm not going to do that again. So in the discernment definition, it talks about it being obscure. That as you grow, you have greater understanding. As you walk the path, your discernment improves. It becomes better. Would you say that is true for you, Lola? Like, do you feel like you're definitely more discerning now than you were when you first started,
yes,
right?
Yes. I think we gain wisdom by correcting our mistakes. That's one thing you learned studying Kabbalah. Okay. And I guess sometimes discernment doesn't develop until you recognize you've made mistakes.
Right.
Okay. So when I'm thinking about discernment in people who are new to the spiritual journey, they can dive into so many different things so much, because you're right, it's an unquenchable thirst mm-hmm. for knowledge. And you could go to the person, maybe a guru that you think is so way above you, and then down the road after a few years you go, why was I listening to that person at all? I learned some discernment. I can only go with my personal experience, which is what this podcast is about, to tell you our experiences so you can learn from maybe some of our mistakes. So when I first started doing light language, I was asked to speak and sing in light language at a spiritual center. They would have me open the meetings, like meetup meetings. I would set the intention and sing. And one of the things that I learned early on is how important the intention is. Because when I was first singing light language and writing in light language, I actually showed my writing to the person who was running the meetups, who was very attuned spiritually. And he said, you know, when you're doing this kind of writing, you can open up doors to portals of things that should not come through. And I'm like, no, it's light language. It's beautiful. Everything about light language is just full of just great energy, love. And he was like, he was trying to tell me I was opening up portals. Without actually telling me I was opening up portals. And at first I was really offended that he said that, because, you know, my intention wasn't to do that. But the thing was, he was trying to teach me that I had to set a specific intention for what I was drawing or what I was saying, so the energy can go where it's supposed to go. So was I opening up portals? I still don't know to this day. I may have been and not known it. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the discernment to even fathom that was possible.
Right.
So that's what I mean by correcting your mistakes. Once you go, well, I kind of trust this guy, and if he thinks I might be doing that, maybe I need to reassess what I'm doing. So that's when I started doing specific intentions before I would speak or draw. So I guess what I'm saying is, discernment, it's, I guess we do get it from recognizing our mistakes.
Mm-hmm. I just want to intervene a little bit, because this is how I feel about it, but I don't believe in mistakes. I believe in learning opportunities. Because here's the thing. We live our whole 3D lives, people telling us, oh, you're making a mistake, you're making a mistake. So that word itself really blocks you, because once you think I'm doing something wrong, you close yourself up.
And that's what I did.
Yes.
After I heard from him, I closed myself up. I was a little panicky. Uh-huh.
And so when you look at, instead of mistakes as a learning opportunity, then what's going to happen is it's going to be more you opening up to, what is it? Where do I need to go search further? Where's my discernment at about this? And then it really opens you up to higher learning. At least that's what it did for me.
I think when I think back on when I first started and whatnot, is that if people are using a certain buzzwords, you're like, oh, this is a spiritual person. And I thought everybody, you know, is on this light, love, and, you know.
Oh,
and so
don't get me started on the light, love, and light people.
Love and light. And it's all good. And it's, I love, you always call it hippy dippy. I would completely trust. I would just be in so, because mm-hmm. they looked the part, they sounded it.
Oh, yeah. Well, and they will say, I am a starseed. I am a light worker. Look at me.
Right.
Yeah, they're very powerful about it. Yeah.
And you're kind of, you're like a little baby in a way.
But you are. You're new to this.
You're new to this. So you're like a little, pretty little, you're remembering.
You're naive. You're naive.
Yes. And you're remembering. And so in that process, I realized, after a while, this person's speaking the language and looks the part, but they are not in alignment, I would start to feel or see inconsistencies, or something wasn't quite right. But I would go into full trust. And it was only through certain, you know, things that happened that I realized, oh, you know, this is where discernment came in for me, was to realize just because something looks and smells and looks like that is not necessarily mean they're coming with good intentions. They are more spiritually evolved than you, X, Y, and Z. It really helped me to be, not take things at just face value, to go, I need to trust my intuition. And that develops more as you're on this path. In when you're never used to using your intuition for decisions, and you've been operating from a headspace most of your life, mm-hmm. you know, that's at least that was the case for me. I wasn't used to using my intuition as a help aid, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's here to help us, but when we're not connected to that higher self as much as, you know, as we now are, you don't have that support. You don't have that extra wisdom and guidance.
Well, you were always connected. You just didn't know you were.
Right. Yeah. Good point. Thank you.
And also, I need to get something out of my chest, which includes discernment, actually. Not everyone that's in the spiritual path is a hippie. And if they are, that's great for them. There's no judgment at all. All I'm saying is we all come from such different backgrounds. And it's interesting that immediately when people think of spirituality, they just put it to a certain type. Again, it's about opening up that discernment of not being judgmental and realizing that spirituality is just what you're connected to, which is such a deeper level than anything of how you present yourself or how you truly are or what background you come from.
Yeah. So part of discernment, I think we can agree, is don't judge a book by its cover.
Yes.
Ooh, very good one.
That's a great.
Because you can put on as many medallions and as many tattoos as possible and still not resonate with you, not be the person that's in good alignment for you to learn from.
And I love it because it's also part of your path of learning. So you can go back and say, oh, this is where I was when I first started.
Yeah.
This is, you know, it's, and that's why I said, is it wisdom from experience? Because you do kind of go from it and go, okay, now I'm a little wiser. I'm a little, you know, farther down the line. I've been through some things to get to where I am. So now I have greater discernment.
Yes. So I guess going back to the concept of the, it's all love and light. They're laughing at me because this is one of my bones of contention. To be truly a master of this plane, you need to be balanced. Balance is mastery. I think any Buddhist will tell you that too. So to deny anything that's dark and say, I'm all love and light, is to deny part of yourself. And I see that a lot, especially for people who are beginning. So your dark side is just there to balance with the light. It's not there for to be abusive. But I always use this as an example when I'm doing tarot readings, because there's a certain card where we talk about the dark side. And I say to the mothers especially, if you were at home with your child and a stranger walked through the door, would you be all love and light? And they're like, no, Mama Bear would come out. Of course Mama Bear would come out. That's your dark nature. There are times when your dark nature needs to be expressed. And a home invasion definitely is one of them, in my opinion.
100%.
So it's not that you are doing anything wrong. If you do recognize that, hey, if you think you're supposed to be love and light all the time, and all of a sudden you get this little dark nature pop out, it's like, no, you're not doing anything wrong. But what you do learn as part of your mastery of both the physical and the spiritual is to train your dark side. So you know when it's appropriate for it to be expressed, and you know when it's appropriate for it to be under your control and calm.
Curious, Lola, what card is that in the tarot deck? Oh,
it's the Queen of Wands. You know that, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Leopard.
Yeah, that actually is my birth card. So that one is somewhere around self-mastery. So I love that one as well. I think the other aspect of all this too is when you were talking about the love and light, I heard that so much mm-hmm. in the beginning. And I like that I don't know if it's that I'm not hearing it anymore, but I think what's really great in that is that we're meant to have, it's a spiritual trap in a way to be like, oh, you're always supposed to be happy and love and light. And it's all this, you know, good high vibration, which we're going to segue into next, is then when you're not that way, you feel like, oh, I'm not being spiritual enough.
Right.
So you're suppressing true emotions that you actually need to feel and work through.
And another thing too, is we came to this earth to experience emotions, to master those emotions. And the dark just holds actually your strengths, because whatever you don't understand about yourself actually has strengths that you haven't gone through and really realized and balanced those things out so that they actually become your true strengths. At least from my journey and doing it the fast growth, I also feel that you get the goggles, I call them, depending on what your background is. I had a lot of religious programming that automatically you said dark and I wanted to run away. And I was like, what is going on with me? So those are things to work within yourself. It doesn't mean we all started somewhere, but the dark is a balance. It's the yin and yang. Without one, the other one doesn't exist. And we're cut pretty much in half. We need both in order to be balanced, like Lola said. And that's something that is a discernment that you understand later on, because at first you just think you're just supposed to be at the light, but really in reality you're just supposed to be balanced. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, and that's part of discernment. And I think we all did that at the beginning, the love and light mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah,
I think that's very natural at the beginning. It takes a while before you recognize it's like, wait, I'm denying parts of me.
100%.
And, yeah.
I think the other thing too that I've noticed, particularly, you know, you tend to draw people that they say are like you. So I would, I specialize in trauma survivors. And so working with people, I would see their path and it would have all this dark, heavy stuff. And one day I just heard this intuitively, and it's not that it's like a huge message that other people couldn't get to, but that as much as we have been to the dark and have been through really hard things, if you swing that pendulum mm-hmm. all the way over to the other side, you have been able to go so deep and go so dark places. And especially with people that have, you know, really struggled with being here and staying here on earth and overcoming suicidal thoughts. And it's just like, it's been so hard. You, as much as you go into that depth of dark, when you swing that pendulum to the other side or that gauge, as much as you held the dark, you can equally hold the light. And there is a lot of great wisdom and gifts that come forward when you've had a dark path. And that's one thing that I don't think people realize. There's that power. There's that power to switch it and turn it
yes.
the opposite way to have it work for you. And I think that's a very hopeful message.
I agree. So I guess getting back to discernment, I mean, that's something you learned through experience mm-hmm. With your own, with yourself and with helping other people. Mm-hmm. So I guess our message here today is you can develop your discernment, but a lot of it is based on, I guess, trial and error.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I would recommend being open to the concept of discernment. I was telling my friend earlier that back when I lived in Seattle and used to go to the meetups, there was a particular person who we were trying to two of us were trying to describe what discernment was to her, and she wasn't listening at all. It was like when you tell a teenager they can't have the car keys, right. That blank face that you get, like, I'm not listening to you. And we kept trying to tell her, because she was doing some things that we were trying and hopefully help guide her or not to go down a road where things may not be working ideally for her. And she just wouldn't listen. So you have free will. You can choose what you want to do. I think it's easier to be open to discernment and starting to learn to trust your inner compass.
Yes, great word. Great way of describing that.
to decide what suits you and what doesn't. So, you know, one thing that could be helpful, because since she wasn't open to even hearing what discernment was, would be, you know, what are some things you would recommend for people to kind of tap into their inner compass to help them find their discernment? Like, one of the things I think works really well is to run it through your heart mm-hmm. instead of your head. For anyone who's kind of energy sensitive, the three of us are, and I know some people are more sensitive than others. So if you don't feel it, that's fine. But you might want to ask yourself a question inwardly, and your head's probably going to be the first one to respond mm-hmm. and do something like, what, are you crazy? You think you can do that? And then if you try to focus on your heart and really start to feel your heart center, feel some energy there just by concentrating on it, and then run it through your heart, you might get a different answer through your heart.
I know at the beginning when I was first trying to, I used to go to everybody for, everybody outside had the answer. So I was constantly making appointments to work through things that I know eventually I developed that. But in the beginning, things were like, I felt completely lost. Like, I don't know this, mm-hmm. I need to, and I would quickly go down to this person to help them explain it and give me the answer. And then later on, I was just like, you know, I need to stop giving over my power and I need to develop this within myself. So one of the things I started really using was a pendulum at the beginning of, you know, asking yes, no questions. Another thing was like body testing, mm-hmm. You know, even with foods or certain things, the places where I would get overwhelmed with choices, sometimes just breaking that down helped me. And then the more and more you do that, I hardly ever use a pendulum anymore. But in the beginning, it is a skill that you might realize, oh, maybe you don't trust yourself. Maybe mm-hmm. you don't feel like it's strong enough. Just as I'm working out, it's like a weak muscle that you can build over time.
Yes, that's why they call them psychic skills.
Yeah,
psychic skills. So at first, you probably won't trust yourself for the newbies who are on the spiritual path. I think it's fine to go to other people.
Yes.
Start learning about mm-hmm. classes for how to use pendulums, for example. Tarot is what did it for me, too. Mm-hmm. Tarot tells you all about yourself. All about yourself. I don't understand people who won't do tarot reading for themselves. Like, they were trained only to do it for others. It's been such a wealth of knowledge for me to see where I am on my spiritual path, what I can do to make changes. It's just an excellent tool. So I guess talking about tools in general, yeah. especially mm-hmm. for new people, pendulums, tarot.
I used oracle decks a lot because tarot mm-hmm. seemed...
yeah,
there were so many decks of tarot. And is it tarot or tarot? Does it
potato potato?
Okay. See, and it's just those things. Some things are, it's like, okay, I say it this way, you say it that way, and that's all good. I love that. But you're learning through the process of where to go through the choices that you make. Mm-hmm. And I never realized how sensitive I was to environments, so spaces. So I would, you know, very unconsciously, I worked in hospitals for a while, and I was like, oh. Is this why I'm kind of always tired when I get home? I didn't know anything about clearing my energy field. I didn't know anything about grounding. Mm, you know,
those
all
are
these things.
So excellent things for people at the beginning to learn about.
Yes.
Yes. Grounding.
Grounding. And so, you know, you go and go, oh, now when somebody asks you to go to certain places, I'm like, I know that isn't an energy that I've been to. For example, not to bash Walmart, but Walmart was a very hard store for me to go into. Mm-hmm. And I used to be like, oh, as a kid, I would, especially if things were on sale. Oh my goodness, if things were on sale and there was a lot of stuff, I would just be like overwhelmed with the energy of excitement, all these choices. And then now I go, oh, I know that I can be overwhelmed if there's too much going on, too many people in a tight space.
See, that's discernment right there. You know that that's a place you'd rather not go. You'll find your goods someplace else.
Right.
I can't walk into Walmarts either energetically. They just devastate me, actually.
Can I I just want to add for the sermon too, it's really about, you know, your journey is going to be your own, but one of the things is to have good discernment, meaning to really connect with yourself and know the truth and bring it into heart space. One of the things is be aware of your emotions. Example, if you're mad, you're not going to be connected to your discernment. I hate to tell you that. Any lower emotions will not get you there. You have to first clear it out, relax, mm-hmm. bring it to your heart space so you have that discernment really comes from your heart space rather than from your emotions. And that was something that I really struggled with because, well, having a Latin background, we're kind of emotional. And, you know, that's one thing that was taught since like day one. And I needed to break out of, there is certain emotions such as joy, happiness. Those are great emotions, but lower emotions, they're not good for you. They're not good to hold. They're not good to process. And you'll learn on your journey that in order to have the best discernment, you really just have to clear out and be in that space of, in order to get to your heart space, you have to be willing to let go of those lower emotions so that you can really hear the right thing that connects with you.
I think this is a great segue into frequency. And
okay, we're going to talk about frequency and vibration in another episode. So thanks.
I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yes, but that is excellent. The other thing I was feeling when Emerald was talking is you can use your discernment in retrospect as well.
Yes.
So maybe you didn't use as much discernment as you could have in the midst of a situation, but you can look back on it and then start feeling into your heart center because maybe you were too emotionally mm-hmm. charged at the time, too yeah. angry. For example, but you can look at it in retrospect and feel into your heart space, and then you can make a choice. You know, that's why we keep talking about free will. You can make a choice to make amends for it, perhaps, if you got angry at someone, or you could choose not to. But that's still using your discernment. You know, would it be best for me to approach this person again? Would it be better for me to allow it to just dissipate and see how things go? So I guess it's never too late to use it.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point.
Also, another thing that I don't think none of us have touched so far is the gut feeling, because your stomach is like a second brain to you. It tells you when you have that gut feeling of like, oh, something's not right for you, just listen to that. Literally, your body is designed to give you answers, but sometimes we just choose not to listen.
Like intuition and discernment, that's why I was like, how are they different? Because they go so hand in hand.
Well, and I think your intuition becomes stronger and stronger with mm-hmm. more you use your skills, mm-hmm. right?
Yes. Yep.
But even people who have not had any kind of interest in the woo-woo-ville path, they know sometimes they've gone to like a stoplight and it was like, I'm just going to pause for a second before I make a turn. And if they had gone, then it was a potential for an accident, right? Or you get that feeling like, maybe I'm going to take the long route today instead of the short route. And then you find out there was an accident on the freeway. I think everybody's had that situation. So there's discernment involved there and intuition, which, as you keep growing and shifting and changing on the spiritual path, you become more and more attuned to. But I think that's a basic one almost everyone can yeah. relate to.
I think also, too, as you grow, so like you were saying, you're being aware of this huge world of stuff that you didn't know that much about maybe as you wake up. And you want to try it all. But then you also know, oh, there's some things that you're like, that's maybe a little more advanced than me. I remember connecting to somebody and she did a reading and it was, I don't know what kind of language. Later on, I talked to my daughter about it because we both worked with her. We were like, what was she saying? Like, it was hard. It was a very, I don't want to say fluffy way, but it was a different way of speaking. And at that time, that was very, I couldn't even connect to what she was even really saying. I couldn't get the message. But as you go along, I could get it now. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. in the beginning, it's learning that you're going to find people that are going to speak that you resonate with that are there for you at that point in your journey. And I look back on those earlier people and go, oh, okay, those were really great people. And then sometimes I would go outside and trust. And that's when I learned the discernment that just because everything, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. So when you look at certain topics or things, using your discernment to go, I don't know if I'm really ready for that. Or if it's not calling you, then it's maybe not ready for you right now.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean maybe 2 years from now that exactly. exact same topic or that exact same person is going to be very appealing to you to pursue.
And I also would kind of like to add, even like, for example, us recording this episode, there's going to be some of you that understand everything we're saying. And some of you, like some stuff, you're like, well, I really don't know what that is. I really encourage you to just search. Like literally whenever you find something that kind of like, you're like, I want to know more about that because that doesn't is not explained as well as I understand it, just go look for it, because that is also like you practicing your discernment means the things that you take, like take the wheel on really your own awakening process. Your journey is your own for you to experience. And it's a beautiful journey once you get, not that, I mean, it's just a beautiful journey in general, because we all have to go through different things, but challenge yourself to look for the things you don't may not understand. And that's totally fine. That's part of the growth.
Yeah, I really feel like the things that are speaking to you to know are there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Sudden will come up and you'll be like, I don't know anything about that. And then you're like, oh, but I want to know. That was for me after I started working with energy work on myself. Once I had a shaman work on me, I all of a sudden, this whole world that I knew nothing of, that only had ideas of from what I saw in films and what society had kind of put out there. And so I was like, what is this shaman thing? And I wanted to know everything about it.
Yeah.
If it was a shaman stone, I had to have the stone. If it was a book about this. So I think as you go, you're going to like be really interested in certain topics. And I think that they're meant for you to follow those. Like if it's showing an interest, that is your spirit speaking to you, in my opinion.
And then it might be a stepping stone towards something else too.
Exactly.
It might be something where you thought you were, oh, this is the route I'm going to go down. But it was like your stair step into something else.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, go ahead and pursue. One thing I would like to bring up, because I think it's salient to what you both said here, is you used the term, I'm thinking muscle testing, but you used a different term.
Body testing. Yeah.
So if you guys don't know what that is, that can help you with discernment, get a yes or no answer by trusting your body. And there's different ways to do that. We cannot show you on audio program. So go, if you're interested, look up muscle testing and find out some techniques and practice them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are just as simple as standing and seeing if you tend to move forward or backward for a yes or a no. So it's simple. It doesn't even require any extra tools.
No tools. Yep. You can do it anywhere.
But it does require trust, and it does require discernment.
But isn't that the beauty, though? Like when we first started, there were some things that really called to us, and we even used certain techniques. And then as you get more ahead, it's just like life itself. It just changes all the time. You're going to find that the interest you had before, what you thought, oh, this is, I'm so passionate about this, it's going to change. Everything will always change because it's in the constant flow of things. And I think our biggest lessons that we're going to learn is from allowing things to just naturally come in.
Absolutely. I think what's so fun about it is it's such a personal growth journey. Like you're starting here, you can measure where you're at, and then you're like, this is where I was. This is where I am now. Mm-hmm. You're growing. You're growing as a person, I think, exponentially in a really great way where, you know, that for some reason, I always like the word now you're asleep versus awake. But we are waking up to all of this wonderful new road. And
Amaryl's jangling his bracelets.
There was a little thing that I was flinging.
I'm like, are you putting out energy? Where are you seeing ghosts? What's going on? But anyways, it's just interesting to see how much you evolve as a person and grow and become. Like, I know that I am so much more compassionate and understanding, and I really try to be less judgmental. And when I catch myself in that, mm-hmm. I will hear myself like, that was really judgmental. Like my higher self, mm-hmm. and where I'm talking, and I'm like, what's that about? Because mm-hmm. you know that
was discernment.
Yeah.
The universe is about expansion. That's why we have spiral galaxies. So we're part of that universe. So our job is to keep expanding. And that's why just, you know, as best you can, use your discernment and see what resonates with you. And as you expand and shift and change and grow, you may find other interests. You may not. You may have found something that you're just passionate about until you transition into somebody or something else.
Yeah.
Did you want to say something specific when you were jangling your bracelets?
No, I was actually playing at something that was like flying. I wanted to get it away from us, like coming into it. But
the things that go on.
Yes.
It's funny. Anything else you guys want to add on that? I'm not sure how much more we could expand on that. But
okay. Well, one thing about being discerning is if you're find some people on the spiritual path, you can use your discernment to see how discerning they are.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Because I've learned definitely, you know, none of us are, I think, we're not perfect. Mm-hmm. And you can find people that's like, I really like how they handle themselves. I see the choices they make. They self-reflect. They're wise. Mm-hmm. They give you good advice, you know, but they're also going to make mistakes too. It's like sometimes I put people that I think are above me higher, you know, I would say more intelligent, or they know about something or whatever. And I will tend to put them on a pedestal, and I have to remind myself that I can do that sometimes. And really, mm-hmm. We're all at different levels, but having people that you really trust, their discernment, so that you can get that advice, I think that's one of the best benefits, as having a tribe of people that you love and support and, you know, are farther along the path or can use their gifts to help you. Isn't that one of, do you think that's probably one of, so that you're just not hermiting up alone? Because I know Lola mm-hmm. and I do this a lot. Almirall is so great at being social and really is a great connector of people. But sometimes when you're a person that has a hard time asking for help or reaching out, or you're so used mm-hmm. to doing it yourself, so we're meant to help each other. We're meant mm-hmm. to be a support system. So that's where you get to use your friends that have been part of this journey with you to get their also discernment over a situation and giving you another mm-hmm. way to look at it when we're stuck. Mm-hmm. Because I know mm-hmm. I definitely have been stumped over certain yep. things and can't get over whatever this lesson is. What is going on here? Can you guys help me out?
Yeah. And then that's where you have, when you have a tribe, it's great. I reach out to Lola. I reach out to Pam, especially when I have things that I'm like, I just want to see how you feel into this. And that's also using their discernment, but it's also showing me different ways to see things. Sometimes we get so caught up in the situation that we're like so stressed out. By the time you hit any kind of lower emotional, that means you're blocked, because now you've been blinded by whatever's going on. It doesn't matter. So when you ask for someone to kind of like more like help you with it, then it's going to be a retrospect from an outside source, so it's more clear to them. And then that way, sometimes they can spot things that you're like, weren't even aware of. They hadn't even processed through your mind yet. It makes so much more sense. And yeah, there's so many things we can really talk about when it comes to discernment. But I think that, I mean, unless you guys want to add anything, I think this is great information for anyone, because I'm sure that you can pick up so many things in so many ways that's been described to you. So whatever resonates to you, just go with that discernment.
Mm-hmm. Take what you need and leave the rest. And, you know, that's one of the best things about this process is to have the support and understanding. And if there's something that we ever go over that we jump, because we can tend to do that pretty quickly, I know I can, and you have a question about it or you want more information, you know, please engage us, you know, ask the question, and we'll be checking the comments to see if there's that we, you know, made something more confusing when it was not our intention. We're trying to make clear and we just added more confusion.
Well, yes. And we have a webpage through, oh, I just can't think of the name of the program now. Well, anyway, yes. we'll by the next episode, we'll make sure you know how to contact us. Yeah. So I guess what we were hearing at the end here is you can use your discernment to trust, to see if you like the discernment of other people, to get advice from the people you think have good discernment.
Yes.
And to avoid the ones you suspect may not.
Yep.
100%.
And hope that they shift and grow favorably. All right. Thanks for listening, you guys.
Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.